I wanted to take just a minute to introduce Aaron Spinello, who's going to be sharing with us this morning. Aaron is a unique person. A little bit of history. I think she was soccer captain in high school, if I remember correctly. She went on to become a teacher, special ed teacher, of working with autistic children and their parents. She was actually Teacher of the Year. That says something. She started a Christian club at the Saddleback College when she was going there, which took some effort. And springing off of that, she initiated the college group at Cooper's House back in the college days that is represented well by many of you that are here. Go way back to those days that made a difference in a lot of people's lives. She's a sister, an aunt, a mother, a wife, a friend, a fighter, an encourager. So strap in and get ready. She's going to bring it.
Well, happy Mother's Day. I am so honored to be able to share today. Mike and I were talking about when you have the opportunity to share, it's such a blessing for yourself, because what I found myself doing is just poring over God's word. And not that I don't want to do that all the time, but making it a priority and just extra tuning into what God's saying, looking for things when I'm out and about, just being extra aware. It's almost like the dimmer lights were turned on. And that's how I felt this week. So I feel filled up. I hope it blesses you too. Mother's Day, I know some of you in here, I gave Hope and Adam a giant hug this morning. Many of you in here have a lot of pain with Mother's Day. I know many of us have walked with Michaela through her miscarriage. Many of us have gone through hard things. We've lost parents. There's a lot of stuff. You might not have had the best relationship with your mom, and this is kind of a tough day. So with all of that said, I just want to say the Lord has grace for everything, and He is the answer in everything. And no matter what your pain is this morning, He is there. And I can't do better than that just to say, I'm so sorry for those of you that have experienced those situations, but I know the Lord is in your boat. So with that said, one of the things I like to do when I start preparing is I just kind of go through some of the books I've either been reading or have read and just kind of prime the pump, so to speak. One of the things I found was when Mike is a teacher teaching fifth grade. I was a teacher at the time, and his class threw us a wedding shower, a baby shower. It was amazing. And the kids wrote us advice. And it was hilarious. So these are fifth graders, okay? And I just found this. I'm like, gosh, I haven't read this in so long. And some of the advice started off with this. No, their parents did not direct them. This was done in school. Love the baby when he cries. Take him to different places. Okay? And I love, like, what they emphasize that says, he needs to do their homework first. Okay? This one, never leave your baby in the car. I can't read. Oh, okay. Keep your baby from dangerous items. Do not let the baby have candy or soda. It's so hilarious. I was like, always make your child eat their veggies. Spend time with your child and try, capitalize, underline, try to be patient with your child. Do not let your child be late until after, did the D and the L. Do not let your child date until after they're married. Is that great? Tell your child bedtime stories. And then I loved it. She did love with a heart. Love them no matter what. I have so many. I'll just do one more. It's like hilarious. This one I have to say for Mike, take your child to Disneyland at least once a year. Okay. Be forgiving. Don't give too much junk food and play with them. Sounds like a recipe for success to me. Awesome. Well, I will say being a mother is way, way, way harder than I thought it would be. Honestly, I remember saying in my head, I might have said out loud, I'm the oldest of four. I've babysat a ton. I've taught children with autism. I mean, how hard can this be? You know, you feed them and you're nice and you're there for them. It's going to go well, right? Oh my goodness, it's so much harder. And I think it gets harder as they get older because your heart's growing for them more and their heart's growing for you. You've got all this stuff going on. So I wanted to start with a little video. If we can have Steve, if you wouldn't mind dimming the lights, and then we'll get into it.
Warning, use of this product may alter your perception of reality. Everything looks the same.
Guys, can somebody hit me with some juice? And listen, pulp, no pulp, doesn't make a difference to me. You're the ones dealing with the diaper.
Mom goggles.
Have fun clamping.
What is that?
Have no idea. We got this.
Yep. I mean, think about this. The kids are older. Now they practically take care of themselves.
Nobody understands me.
We're doomed.
What did we do the last time they left us alone with the kids?
Mom goggles! Those things were so great. I mean, they helped us see things like moms see things. Whatever happened to them?
I definitely put them in a place I knew I would never forget.
Great. Where are they?
I forgot.
Computer phone, order 2 pair of mom goggles.
Ordering 2 pairs of mom joggers.
No. Goggles. Mom goggles.
You'll always be my baby.
You're so weird.
No.
Hi, guys.
Just leave me alone. I hate you.
You come back here and say that to my face, young lady. What you're feeling is natural. You truly are a gift from God. And I hope you know I'm always here for you.
You're the best dad in the world. I'm sorry I don't tell you that more often.
I am gonna cry like a man child at your wedding.
Stop looking at me!
Laundry. Look at this mess. It is literally a pigsty in here, mister. How are you gonna organize your life if you can't organize your sock drawer? First, it's unmatched socks. Then, unfinished homework. Then, kicked out of school. Next, jail.
How does she process this every day?
All right, one more time. Plastic bowls up top, face down, forks up, knives down, plates in the center, pots and pans we wash by hand. Now repeat it back to me.
No, I don't think the joggers make you look fat.
I've got my dad's thighs.
Don't you need the goggles?
No. I've seen your mom do this so many times. You have a great mom, you know that.
That's great. Mm. Can you hand me the barf bucket?
No, okay, here we go. I got your cat out of the dryer. You're welcome.
I don't own a cat.
How do they do it?
Cats?
Moms. How do they do all of this without the goggles?
They don't need them. Moms have this God-given ability.
Yeah, it's like no matter what the circumstance, they always see the best version of what their kids can be.
Moms are a little glimpse of heaven.
It wasn't me!
Great. I mean, we were laughing just thinking about just the difference of how we all see different things. So, moms, you're awesome. And I would be remiss this morning if I didn't say something to my own mom. I felt like as I was studying, I found this old picture. It was actually a handprint, and I've never opened it up. I assumed it was mine, but I had never looked at it before. And I opened it up, looked at the back, and it was my grandmother. I was a year old, it was a handprint, and she said, I dipped your hand in paint while your mother was painting the kitchen cabinets, and I hope as you read this that you're serving the Lord now. I know, I was like, I am. Oh, I just thought that was so cool, and I just think about the prayers that have gone before us. I think that we can't take those for granted. We know that the Lord, I believe everybody who has come to the Lord, there's been prayer for you. The seed has been sown. Okay, well, I've just had so much on my mind in the last month or so stirring within me, and I want to get into it a little bit. But in Psalm 127, the key word I want us to focus on is unless. Unless the Lord builds the house, the builders labor in vain. Unless the Lord watches over the city, the guards stand watch in vain. In vain you rise early and stay up late, toiling for food to eat, for he grants sleep to those he loves. Children are a heritage from the Lord, offspring a reward for him. Like arrows in the hand of a warrior are children born in one's youth. Blessed is a man whose quiver is full of them. They will not be put to shame when they contend with their opponents in court. And I've always joked about the quiver part. I just thought that was so funny. And I said to my brother, I go, well, your quiver's definitely full. He's got five now. And I would say our church, our quiver is full. We have so many children, and I love it. Like, more babies are coming in our church that it's such a heritage from the Lord and such an opportunity from the Lord to be able to invest in our children and others' people's children. One of the things I thought was interesting in that verse, if we just think about it for a minute, it's like, it says, like arrows in verse 4, like arrows in the hand of a warrior. So like arrows in the hand of a warrior. I started thinking about why would our quiver be full? In a comparison to a warrior, is our quiver just to stay near us? Is our children to stay right there? It says no, like in the hands of a warrior. So talking about to be sent out. It's very different than holding our arrows close, never ever going out, staying close. That's not, it's like in the hands of a warrior. So training for battle, the climate might not be great. It's going to be hard. Like a warrior's hands are our children to be sent out. And that has really, really been on my heart lately. I personally have been feeling very overwhelmed. I've been feeling discouraged. I've been feeling mad. I've been feeling feisty. I've been like declaring war on some things that are happening in our culture. And now that I am honored, I always was excited about getting to have a teenager. Mike and I have worked with teens like since we've known each other, just, you know, investing and loving in different ways. And to get to have a teenager, now officially Kate's 13, teen, and is so fun for so many reasons. And I mean, one of the main reasons, we got a minivan, which I've wanted since I was 15. I was so pumped. I'm not kidding. I love that thing. My neighbor was like consoling me. She's like, oh man, you caved. And I was like, what do you mean? And she has like a cute truck. I'm like, I've wanted this since I was 15. Watch the doors. Boom. So whenever she's out front, I just click that thing and wave. It's so funny. But I just love it. And one of the things I love about it is I love bringing other children into my world, my vehicle, my office, as I call it. So I have been honored to do several of Cade's field trips at his school. I pack them in. I'm like, yes, I'm there. I love taking kids home. Anytime I can drive, I am like, yes. Because it's so awesome to hear what they talk about. And it's so fun to be an influencer, not dominating them, but just, oh, what do you think about that? What happened? When? Where? What? You know, you're just kind of listening. And in this idea of culture and what's happening in our education system, you know, it's crazy to me that Mike and I, we feel very good about the school Kate is at. We prayed about it. Cade prayed about it, and we want Cade to be at his school. It's a ginormous public school, 1,500 kids. I can't tell you how scared I was in a warrior sort of way, like knew where to tuck in, but nervous. That first day we sent Cade to this school, you know, they had no idea what was coming. You know, they're just like, oh my goodness, he had what, and what happened, and what does he need? And I'm like, oh, he's fine, he's great, you know, and they're like, wait, what? So I think, and of course, they could probably feel our intensity, you know, our purposefulness. Do you understand the vision? Because I treat it always like PR. I'm like, no, let me tell you about the story. You are so lucky. You are so blessed that Cade is gonna be here, because with Cade comes the Holy Spirit, and you are blessed, so. That's how I feel when I walk in. And I always feel that I have tons of options. I have options. You know, they throw, well, we have to do this. I'm like, oh, that's an interesting option. Okay, we'll talk about that. I mean, they're like, no, this is it. I'm like, maybe. You know, you just, in my mind, we have all the choices in the world. It's how we operate. Now, there is reality to all of that, but when Cade went, I remember the day I handed Cade, he probably doesn't remember this because I had my mom goggles on. I was like, my baby. Cade's like, see ya, I'm fine. Okay. But I handed Cade his white cane. Cade white uses his cane in public, you know, where it's all around. It allows him to be independent. It allows him to navigate. And I often try to go here, like way adult. What does Cade need? What am I doing today to prepare him for that? And some of those things are super scary. For me, I could cry, but I won't, Cade. And I handed Cade his cane. And I had been advocating for him to be cane trained since he was in second grade. I'm like, I don't care. I want him cane trained. I want him ready. I want him to, he needs this. So he uses that cane all around that campus and navigates it. But when I handed it to him, I said, this is what your training is for. And I gave it to him, and I walked away, oh my gosh, Mike, you know, and we were just, I think we even sat in the parking lot, you know, and prayed and cried, but I knew Cade was ready for that next step. We just had his back to school night, or no, open house. I couldn't even keep up with Cade navigating that. I'm like, dude, slow down. He was like, choo-choo-choo-choo-choo, you know, going. And I always tell him, I go, do you know what it's like to be a fully sighted person walking with a visually impaired kid? You're like holding your breath the whole time. Because people are like, oh gosh, okay, he's coming. So Cade had this down and has this school and he's navigating. And one of our tipping points, we've had several, and this all leads into how I'm feeling. But Micah and I, you know, we've gotten to really know the principal, really get to know the staff, you know, like we're like an asset. That's how we view ourselves for them. We're not just takers. I'm on PTA. I'm like, what can I do? I want to be involved because it's an honor. It's awesome. And the principal had some quote about, and I'm not going to get the quote exactly right, but about a ship isn't meant to stay in the harbor, but is meant to sail the seas. And he and I said, can you repeat that quote again to me, to the principal? And I said, you know, this is a risk we're taking with you. And he said, yeah. And we wanted to know, I needed to know that he understood the price of what Kate's gone through, of what we're entrusting. And I said to him, I said, hey, I know he might fall here. He might literally fall. And he said, I know. And I said, you know, I just, all these things could happen, right? But it's a safe place to take a risk. All of his teachers are amazing. Outstanding. We just hit the jackpot with them. They all care. They're amazing. And now, you guys, I go home and I don't worry about Cade at school. We had to labor about that place, to where to get Cade, where to release Cade, where to shoot that arrow. And it wasn't easy. And believe me, we're doing the same thing for high school. Lord, where do you want him? You know, how are we going to do this with Lucy as well? And there is a lot changing in California in the public schools. And I am paying attention. And I am not okay with it. And I am upset. And I am mad. It makes me want to cry, actually. I just feel so sad about it. I can't believe the lie that is being sown to our children. And I came home, just poor Mike, every lunch break, he's like blasted with my passion. I'm like, oh my gosh, have you read the news? Do you know what's going on? You know, and he's just like, okay, I'm just gonna have a burrito here. But it's true. I've been feeling like the word the Lord's been saying to me is battle. You know, it's overwhelming. Because our kids, even if you do not physically have a child, it's a culture. This is not just about parenting. This is not just about being a mother. But there's a culture, and we must care. We cannot sleep through it. And that's what I've been feeling. So I'm going to get into this, and I know I don't have a lot of time, but I've been feeling like this picture of sleepiness. I just can almost picture Cade's school of just a cloud of sleepiness. Cloud of sleepiness going on, that people don't understand what is happening. So now I realized last couple weeks that the enemy, I thought I was doing battle on the enemy, but in that same breath, the enemy, he knows my Achilles heel. You know, oh my gosh, so much is going on. What do you do? What do you do? And I started just seeing things in the natural, and I was really discouraged. In Matthew 13, it talks about the parable of the sower. You probably all have heard this before. I'll read through it quickly. The same day, Jesus went out to the house and sat by the lake. Such a large crowd gathered around. He got into the boat and sat in it. While all the people stood on shore, he told them many things in parables, saying, A farmer went out to sow his seed. As he was scattering the seed, some fell along the path. The birds came and ate it up. Some fell on rocky places where it didn't have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still other seed fell on good soil, where it produced a crop 160, 30 times what it was sown. Your child, our children, are seeds. And we must protect the seed. Emmy Teresa is a dear friend, and she helps me with my garden. And one of the things she said to me, she gave me a new plant. She's like, save the seed. I need this seed because I want to have a crop for it, you know. Okay, so when I was eating a little teeny tomato, I looked at that little seed. I don't normally look at seeds and go, what a harvest. What a harvest we have here. And I mean, the tomato was so stinking small. And I'm like, this is like kind of funny. Like, here's your harvest. But that's how Emmy didn't see the tomato. She saw the seed that was going to be the harvest. That is so different. And I'm like, I'm going to eat this salad a little differently. You know, you're eating a harvest. With our kids and the seed, I shared this, I think, last year, but when we were at ACM, there was a dad who was confessing about his son who had chosen to go a different direction, and this dad would always pray for his son, and the Lord spoke to him and said, stop praying for your son. Did you sow into him? I said, yes. Then pray for the seed. The seed, if it is sown and nurtured and protected, it will bear fruit. It will bear fruit. Now, again, Emmy didn't know she was going to be in this message today, but she kept saying, make sure you amend the soil. And I said, what does that mean? But now I text her, I'm like, just amended the soil, and we're good. But she gave me bags of soil, and it's like, you have clay, that's not going to grow there. You need to do this. How often? Oh, no, do not put Miracle-Gro in there. No. And she's telling me all these things. I'm like, okay. And amending the soil, where our seed is sown. I was recently reading a book, and it was talking about when you are in the presence of God, take a deep breath in. I was doing that during worship. I felt like a sponge just soaking it in. Your spirit, my spirit, is thirsty and most likely dehydrated. We are out in the world most of the time doing battle. We don't even know it. And then we can get so numb that we don't even recognize that we're in a war. It's a sleeper cell. The enemy wants you. I always tell my kids, they could tell you this. I said, don't be fooled. The enemy wants to destroy you. Destroy you. Now there's good news. He walks around like a roaring lion, but he doesn't have any teeth, Cade. And I started teaching him how to do war. I go, when in doubt, rebuke the enemy. When you're at school, you can rebuke the enemy. You have authority there. Because God has put you there. I believe it's so important to teach our kids how to fight. Because in my overwhelmness, my new prayer is, Lord, you have picked our children for this generation. Teach me how to prepare. This is different. We have not had kids growing up with technology like this before. The principles are still the same of good parenting and good protecting the seed. But the enemy's tactics are a little different. We must be aware. So, I can talk about anything because everybody in here has a mother. So, we're going to go with that. So, like in the Bible, you know, if I talk about a man, he has a mother. So, okay. So, my first thing is being a mother, being a person willing to step out from the crowd. I think we're in a culture now that it's opposite. It's so much better just to kind of hang tight, hang back. Yeah, you don't have to be deep in, but just on the peripheral, like kind of hang back. And I said, Lord, I don't want to make waves just to make waves. That's not beneficial, but I don't want to just hang back if you're calling me to step out. I'm not sure what you want me to do in this. I love this story. In Matthew 15, 21 through 28, faith of a Canaanite woman. It says, leaving that place, Jesus withdrew himself to a region of Tyre and Sidon. A Canaanite woman from that vicinity came to him crying out, Lord, son of David, have mercy on me. My daughter is demon-possessed and suffering terribly. This woman understood what was going on with her daughter. The prayer wasn't, what's going on? She's like, she is demon possessed and suffering. terribly. Jesus did not answer a word. So his disciples came to him and urged him, "Send her away, for she keeps crying out after us." He answered, "I was sent to the lost sheep of Israel." The woman came and knelt before him. "Lord, help me," she said. He replied, "It is not right to take children's bread and toss it to the dogs." "Yes, it is, Lord," she said. "Even the dogs eat the crumbs at their master's table." Then Jesus said to her, "Woman, you have great faith. Your request has been granted." Her daughter was healed at that moment. Now, I think we all have no idea probably what this was like for her to do this. But she was willing to totally, being a woman, probably not popular in the village. You know, her annoying daughter's at it again. Oh my gosh. And the mom's like, "I know, she's demon-possessed. I don't know what to do. Help." There's no help. "I don't know. Just shut her up, basically. We don't have time for this. We're with Jesus, and you need to be quiet." And she said, "No, my daughter needs your help." And she stepped out, and her faith was heard, and her daughter was healed and restored. A mom that was willing to advocate when needed, saw the sickness, was in reality, wasn't trying to say, "Well, she, you know, she's a good kid, she's got this going on." "No, my daughter is majorly wounded and needs you. Jesus, help her." Advocating before the Father. She knew where to go. She wasn't too nervous to be like mocked. The disciples were telling her to be quiet. And she said, "No, I will not. My daughter needs help." Love that. Being a mother willing to join in to what God is doing. This is an example we see with Noah's wife, Mrs. Noah. She joined in. She didn't complain. We don't know much other than she joined in. She saw what God was doing. She got behind the vision, what the Lord was doing. What is God calling us to as mothers, as people of faith, to join in? It's crazy to build an ark, people. It doesn't rain. What the heck are you doing? Your husband is nuts. Why don't you say something to him? Honestly. No, she did not. She joined in. She joined in the mission. And soon, her faith was rewarded. She was in the ark. Such a picture of the Lord bringing us into the ark, into shelter, into redemption, into protection. Being a mother or a person willing to share your faith. You see this story, which I love, with Ruth and Naomi. I think it's such an amazing story when after Ruth's husband and Naomi's husband had been gone for 10 years. And they heard that other lands were giving food, and they said, "We'll go." She urged her daughter-in-laws to go back to your people, go back to your gods, go be with your family, go. And what did they say? One daughter-in-law said, "Okay, I will go." And it was in weeping and in tears. And the other said, "Your people will be my people. Your God will be my God." And she followed. And the thing is about this, when we read this story, there was deep grief. So you can actually not have your A game and be influential, which is pretty cool. Because some people need to see you fall apart and not lose it and walk with you. I remember when we had people coming into our house all the time for Cade, I would oh my gosh, it was so hard for me. And I didn't even know it would be hard for me. If you would have asked me if that would have been hard, I'd be like, "No, not at all. It's terrible. Lucy's screaming, my house is a mess," and I'd say to them every time, "If I was having you over for real, it wouldn't be like this." I go, "But then again, that wouldn't be really me, so congratulations, welcome to me, it's chaos." And they came in, and then we'd laugh, and they joined in. They were joiners in the process. They actually found victory in it when we had victories, like we're a team. I said, "Our house will not be perfect, but I always will have really good coffee." Like, yes. So we made a plan. And I felt like so many times I would say, "This is not the plan. This is not how it's supposed to be. I should not be this much of a mess. But I was, and the Lord saw that. And in my suffering and in my grief, I was allowed to have an influence with people because they didn't need perfect, they needed messy, real. And they got it. So, hey, boom, I'm here to answer all your dreams. So a new book I'm reading, and my dad said I'm gonna sound super smart if you've never heard of it. I Declare War by Levi Lesko. And anyways, I started reading it, his other book, because he had tragically lost a daughter, and he's a pastor, with an asthma attack. It was really, really tragic. And reading about his grief and what that feels like. And I was reading it so I could be a better friend to one of my friends. And in this book, I declare war. And again, battle's been on my heart for a month. I feel like I often hear Rocky, "Yo, Adrian," in my head. And I'm like, yes. Okay, so just, you know, living in the house I do, a lot of movie lines. I'm a fighter. Okay, so being a mother or a person who's willing to put it all on the line to battle, what does that look like? And that's what I was asking the Lord. I am not up here saying I have got this down. I feel like I'm back when I was, felt like I had a meeting with the Lord. When I was meeting with him, I'm like, what's the battle plan? I'm overwhelmed. I don't know how I can make a dent. I feel like it's a losing cause, and yet I get so mad when I see indifference in people. It's a trigger for me, and I'm like, how can you sleep through this? Do you know what's happening? It's just not okay. This is all my conversation, and I felt like, once again, the Lord gently brought me back to, this is how. You pray, you see who's right around you, and you speak into them. So I've gone after my kids' friends' parents, and I've just been like sharing with what I know, and also praying. Praying and believing just what is being seen doesn't mean what is. I mean, when you read the Bible, there are some crazy stories in there that if they made the news, we would freak out. For real. So I know I'm not the first mom to go, what? I know I'm not. I'm going to read a little bit just for time, but it's out of 1 Kings 18, 19 through 39. And this is from the book I just mentioned, I Declare War. And it's about when you hear about the, you guys remember about the battle of Baal? Where there was that big test of whose God's gonna win, and there was an altar, and there was their God versus their God. And Elijah was sitting there taunting, almost like, okay, what do you got? You got 450 prophets? Okay, keep bringing it, let's go. And they're just doing it. The people are cutting themselves and screaming, and this is what we call the bad guys, we're doing this. And they were just going after it, and nothing happened. And it says, eventually the prophets gave up. Exhausted, Elijah repaired the broken altar and prepared his sacrifice. And then he did something strange. He ordered the Israelites to douse the sacrifice with 12 barrels of water. You know what? Make it wet. If you're camping and it's raining, do you have a good campfire? No. And they knew this, right? Make it wet. And it had been one of the Israelites who, if I had been one of the Israelites, I would have objected. You don't start a fire when it's raining. Dousing the sacrifice is significant for two reasons. First, God can do the impossible. He often calls us to do the impractical. He regularly asks his people to do things that seem odd, and then he blesses it supernaturally. Second, it's important to know that the Israelites were facing a three-year-long drought. The water they poured out must have come from their personal resources. What they were called asked to give up is the very thing they needed most. Elijah knew that as long as they had any water remaining, they would depend on it. But pouring it out at the feet of this altar were in essence pouring their faith entirely on God, saying, I'm all in. And then God brings rain and he restores the water. Being a person willing to be all in. We all have that secret stash, like, well, keep this for a rainy day. And it's wise to store up. But I'm talking about tuning, like Pat talked about when they're tuning for worship, tuning our ear to the Holy Spirit. What is he saying? There's so many, I don't even have time, you guys, to read this last one, but if you have time, I think it's really an awesome story when I have it right here, in 2 Kings 6:15, when King Aram and Elisha, so there was a battle going on with King Aram and the nation of Israel, and I'll be really quick with this part, and you should go back and read it because it'll blow your mind. And I was reading this, and I read it with fresh eyes, and I was going, oh my goodness. So Elijah went to this place, and King Aram's army, he said, he got enraged about a few things, and he sent them out to surround where Elijah's camp was. Elijah's servant woke up early in the morning and went, oh no, look what is surrounding us. How can this be? Oh my goodness, what are we going to do? He sent horses, and he sent strong forces, and they were there surrounding the city. When the servant of the man of God got up and went out early the next morning, an army with horses and chariots had surrounded the city. Oh no, my lord, what shall we do? The servant asked. Don't be afraid, the prophet answered. Those who are with us are more than who are with them. Okay. He's probably thinking, but I don't see it. I see their chariots. And Elisha prayed, open his eyes, Lord, so that he may see. The Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he looked and saw the hills were full of chariots of fire. Chariots of fire all around Elisha. Let me repeat that part. He said, what you see, open his eyes, the Lord, what you see is not just what is. So I'm feeling overwhelmed. I'm feeling kind of like, what can we do? That's what I see, but that is not what is. There are chariots of fire. If we could see what's going on in this room, what's going on over your life, we would take pause. There's a battle raging over our lives, raging over our children, wanting to steal and destroy. And we are standing with chariots of fire. It is not just all this law and all these petitions. The Holy Spirit is moving and calling and equipping. Your arrows are to be sent out. They are to be trained. We must protect the seed. We cannot hide from the culture. We can be in the culture and not of the culture. But I was just reminded that if I'm going to be an influencer to my greatest possessions, my relationship with the Lord needs to be growing in a way that's radical. And I felt like the dimmer lights, as I was studying God's word, that's what it does. It wakes you up, and the lights went on. And that's when the enemy goes, oh no. So in closing, all of us in this room, this is the big idea. What am I here for? You are here to know, love, and serve God. In Matthew 28:16-20, it says, the 11 disciples went to Galilee to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go. And they saw him and they worshiped him, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and earth have been given to me. Therefore, go, boom, go and make disciples to all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I've commanded you. And surely I am with you always, even to the end of the age. That is what we're called to do. That is what, you know, if you want a book that really, if you're feeling like a little bit of a parental slumber, there's a great book called Revolution, The Parenting Revolution, right there. Is that the title? Revolutionary Parenting. Revolutionary Parenting. I encourage you to read it. It'll blow your mind. And it's by George Barna, and it's a lot of stats. And he interviewed a lot of very awesome parents and what they would suggest. And I'm telling you, we can't give away what we do not have. The kids see through it. They see it, they sniff it out, and they know when it's fake. They have to see our vulnerability. They have to see our tenacity. They have to see our effort, not perfection. My kids, I've talked to them about not outing me so much, but my kids will tell you I'm not perfect. But I really try to be quick to apologize and model that. I said, sorry, guys, I'm human, and a sinner, too. They're like, what? Yep. Believe it or not, happy Mother's Day. But I just, that's what's in my heart, battle. Battle, 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 battle. Wake up, wake up, wake up. The enemy is a sleeper cell moving and lulling and comforting, and it's all good. It's not all good. There's good news. There's chariots of fire, but the Lord must equip us. And we need him. So that is my message. I hope that it can apply to you, even if you're, you know, it's just for us people. And wherever you're at, if you're like a Rhonda who's loved so many for years without having her own natural children, we need Rhonda. Our church would not be the same without Rhonda. Right? I mean, Rhonda used to say to me, I know you kind of don't want me to get married, because, and I'm like, well, we just love you how you are. But that's kind of selfish, I know. So I just thank you, moms. Don't grow weary. There's chariots of fire at your back. Just keep on going on. Love you guys. Happy Mother's Day.